I'm Van.
I'm Sori.
That's Booby.
And Vita and Chip and Culpy.
Iron Maiden. Iron Maiden.
I thought you said I run something. I run. I'm like, oh really? You do?
Can't take light totes. Tote iron. Was told in the shootout, stay low and keep firing. Keep extra clips for extra. Anyway.
Oh my gosh. Why are you doing this on every review now?
It's my roots, man. Hip hop. Rap, hip hop music. Rap.
So if you want to see what goes on behind the scenes around our home, some things will make you probably angry, and some things will make you laugh, and people have said that things have made them cry. Check out My Sori Life.
If you want to look at timely, topical political commentary, you can check us out at Middle America with Ben and Sori. We just did a fireside last night.
Yep.
We had a very interesting discussion about gun control. We're actually going to be shooting our first requested Middle America video pretty soon. So there you are. Okay. So this is Iron Maiden. This is called The Evil That Men Do.
Yes.
All right. Let's go.
Go.
The gods of men do is oft interred with their bones.
Shakespeare.
But the evil that men do.
Shakespeare.
What?
Shakespeare.
On.
We'll be right back. Iron freaking Maiden, ladies and gentlemen. I love this band. Some of these guys, they're never gonna grow up a lot.
So you had a very strong reaction to this one.
Well, I hadn't, you know, like I like hear running music and we're talking about running in the spring and getting my leg fixed. And
yeah.
Once we get out of this week, next week, we'll really, really get serious about taking care of my leg. Because I really want to go back out running again.
Yeah.
And if I get
that
it fixed.
That was so good for us.
If I get it fixed now, I'm going running now. And I'm just going to have Maiden in my, in the track thingamajiggy.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I love this band. This is a band that I, you know, there have been a couple bands that I discovered from the channel. Neo, Nell of Scars is like the main one. There is that band that we probably should shoot another video with them. I'm a cruel in my...
Oh.
That band.
Yeah.
I love that band. I love that song. So I'm just really grateful that I found Iron Maiden through the channel, because that there's no way I'd ever be able to, I'd never listen to them otherwise.
Yeah.
And I just love it. And maybe they have the same template and I'm not realizing it, but it's always that, like, you know, like really inspiring guitar stuff that I just love. It makes you want to go out and run a bunch of miles, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they put on a good show. You know, the guy did the running, jumping, split. He's got to be 45, 50 years old. And then the freaking the big monster guy, which that's a guy. I forgot the name of that character, but there's a character with Iron Maiden and, like...
Yeah, I've seen him around. He's there all the time.
I forgot what they called him.
That's a fun addition.
Yeah.
Did you notice every time the ball would come up on the stage, he'd kick it out?
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Like, is he being kicking fruit?
Imagine being a kid like, oh, that guy, whatever his name is, kicked my, you know, whatever. So, it's just really, really, really good stuff. Mm-hmm. I love them. Really good live show. You know, they've got, like, the best live show as far as like the musicianship and then the energy goes. And it's crazy to, I always talk about this with Iron Maiden, is that these guys are like 55, 60, and then you look into the crowd and there's a sea.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. A sea of young kids who know the words.
Yep. Yep. It's cross-generational.
It's unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it before. So I just really appreciate that. I really appreciate the universality of good music.
See, I wasn't really a fan of this one. And I don't know if it's because, first of all, I was literalizing men, and I'm trying not to be such a man hater.
Okay.
And so then lyrically, it was like, the evil that men do goes on and on, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
And so,
right.
I'm like, I'm trying not to have that mindset. But I think that he means mankind.
Well, yeah.
But
yeah,
I couldn't separate it, babe.
Mankind. Well, it's that quote from Shakespeare where he basically says that the good that men do is interred with their bones. It means gets buried with them. But the evil that men do lives, you know, on into perpetuity. So you do something good.
That's really discouraging. It's not true.
Right. I don't think it's true.
No.
But you know, it's one of Shakespeare's more famous quotes.
Really?
Well, not
why? Famous. Why? If it's not true. Well, it kind of feels like that, I think, sometimes.
Right. It's because of human nature where... Yeah. And people, you know, people talk about this in the social media world where people say 58 good things about you, but the one person that says something bad about you, that's what you dwell on.
Yeah.
So people do that for themselves, much less other people. So...
Yeah.
You know, so... And it depends on what...
Yeah, but when somebody dies, people are mostly thinking about the good from them, even if there really wasn't a whole lot.
Well, at a funeral, but as far as your legacy goes, you know, if the person's a bad person... Like, you've got family members that have died, and you know, I have certain impressions of them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, it, you, I could tell that you love them, but they're not very good impressions.
Right.
So it's like, it.
Right.
So the, what we tend to focus on the negative aspects of people and not the, the good that they've done.
Yeah.
And it's a very interesting, I was watching Jordan Peterson because he was talking about like taking a break from Twitter or whatever, because, you know, it's that one. Kevin Durant is like that. Kevin Durant is probably in 10 years going to be a billionaire, and he has these fake Twitter accounts. They're called burner accounts, where he argues with people on Twitter.
What?
Yeah, like he gets into these arguments with people on Twitter.
What's the point?
He's just, he can't help it. Somebody says,
oh my gosh.
And so he basically, and he made a mistake and didn't type from his burner account. And something like that, and then got exposed that it was actually the real Kevin Durant arguing with some no-name person.
Oh no!
Some people are not built for this age.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if it was me, I'd be like, you know how I engage that stuff, but
I know.
But so like the evil, the bad, because you know, people were mad at him for leaving Oklahoma City, mm-hmm. and he was like trying to justify himself, and it's like, it's, you see this all the time with the basketball players. When they decide to leave, it's like, oh, you're terrible. We're going to burn your jersey, da-da-da. And nobody talks about the fact that that basketball player brought in $500 million of revenue over 5 years.
Right, yeah.
As soon as you leave, that's it.
That's it.
You know?
Marry room.
So,
uh-huh.
It's, it, and, you know, we've seen it, you know, like, you know, people flip on you and da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. But it works both ways, because the people that flipped on you act like you've never done anything good. And then the people that flip on you, you act like they're just total jerks. You know what I mean? Like, we all do it. It's a weird concept. So
yeah, it's true. Because I have one person right now that I'm having a hard time.
Yeah.
Because every time I think about them, I only think of what it's, they're all doing against me.
Right. And nothing good that they've done or you know, advancements that they've made spiritually or whatever, like, it's all just, you know, it's all negative. So
you're right.
Where it's easier to tend to focus on the negative than the good.
Mm. Yeah, wow.
Love is a razor, and I walked the line on that silver blade. Slept in the dust with his daughter. Yikes. Her eyes red with the slaughter of innocence, and I will pray for her. I will call her name out loud. I would bleed for her if I could only see her now.
What was happening there?
Well, love is a razor, and I walked on the line on the silver blade. Because we just talked about it, like, the whole thin line between love and hate thing, I think. And it's like, oh, yeah, love, and then something goes wrong, and it switches the other side, and now you're a bastard. So it's, love is always on a razor, because most human beings don't really know how to love unconditionally. Mm-hmm. And that's why we say things like, there's a thin line between love and hate.
Yeah.
The only reason we're saying that is because we haven't yet mastered the concept of unconditional love.
Right.
And so when the person doesn't give us what we want from them emotionally or whatever, it switches to hate. And so we come up with phrases like that to justify the fact that we don't know how to really love people.
Wow.
So, slept in the dust with his daughter, her eyes red with the slaughter of innocence. Woo,
see, that sounds like something really bad happened, you know?
Well, he slept with his daughter and took her innocence.
Okay, well, that's what I was meaning. That's what it sounded like it was saying, but I was like, that couldn't be it. That's really disgusting. Her eyes red with the slaughter of innocence. That's really horrible. I'm assuming that her eyes are red because she's been crying.
Right.
Because her innocence has been slaughtered by her own father. Is that what's happening?
Huh?
Daughter? Her eyes slept in the dust with his daughter? Her eyes red with the slaughter of innocence?
Oh, I was interpreting that as somebody else is talking about somebody's daughter that he, you know, deflowered, basically. I didn't look at it as a dad was talking. Because he's talking in the first person here. I will pray for her.
But how is that?
So I slept with this dude's daughter and took her innocence.
Yeah, but why are her eyes red with that, like?
Because she's crying, because they're obviously no longer together. Because he fell off on the other side of the razor.
Oh, God. Okay.
So, no, I was like, disgusting. Like, what are you talking about? But you're looking at that as an incestuous thing. I'm not. I'm not.
That's what it sounded like, and I'm like, why are they singing about that?
Well, he says, I will pray for her. I will call her name, so.
Yeah, I thought it was just, he heard about then I actually thought that it switched to the other person, and they were saying, I will.
No, I think he's talking about, no, he starts, love is a razor. I walked the line on that silver blade, slept in the dust with his daughter. So the person's talking is talking about somebody else's daughter.
Okay. Well, it's still terrible. It's terrible, but
it's not. Well, it's not in the same ballpark.
Right.
But that's a crazy line. Her eyes riveted to slaughter of innocence. Yeah, when you're young, you don't think about that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like what the significance of that moment. And of course, we've cheapened sex and sexuality to be this, you know, whatever. So we don't really realize how significant that is.
I remember
in a woman's life.
And a man's.
Yeah.
I remember, like, having friends that, like, their virginity was something that was like, ugh, they wanted to get rid of it.
Right.
It wasn't something that was had any special significance. It was really just a point of humiliation for them. But they still had that. And, you know, I wasn't raised like that. I was raised that this is like this, I mean, they put it up on such a friggin' pedestal that right. that was a problem too, you know?
Right.
But I remember having conversations with my friends and like not being able to understand where they were coming from because they just wanted to
right.
off their virginity. And, you know, I remember, you know, like it was yesterday, the conversation of when it actually happened and how it happened and
with your friend?
With my friend, yeah.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the picture or the idea of romance that I ever imagined. It was terrible. And it yeah. wasn't romantic at all. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and it was like that. And you're quickly forgotten. You know, you realize that you're one picture in a stack of 50. Or whatever.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but a lot of these movements that we've had in the last 40, 60 years in our country end up benefiting men
yeah.
while at the same time empowering women. And I get there's lots of women that have, you know, are in control of their sexuality from a very young age and, you know, they know what they're doing and blah, blah, blah. But in the main, sex generally means something more to women than it does to men, especially at you know, 17, 18 years old. It's a big step. And, you know, that's it's a pretty important thing.
They say that your mind is still developing, like your brain is still developing until you're like 24 or something like that.
Yeah.
And like, you know, like when we talk to the kids and like Dorian right now, he's in a phase where he literally thinks that school is pointless. Like, it makes no sense to him. Why would you do math when you have a calculator?
Right.
Like, and trying to get him to understand, right. like, that is, like, it's nearly impossible. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think that that's part of what happens, like, when you're young, is that you think that you have a full view of what something is and that you fully understand the consequences and the good things and the bad things that are going to come out of this certain action. But then as you age and you look back, you're like, that's why we tell our kids to do things differently than we did them. Is because now we have a fuller understanding of what those things are and what they mean and what the loss of those things means. It's just maturity, you know? So I think that somebody can have a handle on their, say, sexuality, you know, at a young age, but at the same time, not really understand the full implications of that until they're older.
Well, yeah. Mm. Yeah, yeah. I agree with that. I don't think even we understand the depths of what sexuality actually is.
Right. Right, yeah.
Circle of Fire. So this is interesting. So this is on the Seventh Son of a Seventh Son record, which is a...
Yeah, that reminded me of the seals in
that's
Revelation.
That's a concept record.
Mm-hmm.
I think we did this one, right? Didn't we do Seventh Son of a Seventh Son?
I think so.
And this is right before Seventh Son of a Seventh Son. So, so that's interesting.
Oh.
Well, that puts a different spin on it because So they had sex, and then the next thing you see is that there's
the birth of that son.
There's a birth of a son about to be born, and then it says the seventh lamb was slain in this song right here. Mm-hmm. So there's probably a connection between four. There's an obvious connection between four and five. Mm-hmm. Circle of fire, my baptism of joy at an end, it seems. The seventh lamb slain, the book of life opens before me, and I will pray for you. Someday I may return. Don't you cry for me. Beyond is where I learn. Circle of fire. Maybe it's the girl giving birth, and then she's dying in childbirth. Someday I may return. Don't you cry for me. Beyond is where I learn. So she's going into the afterlife, probably. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then you see in seventh son, in the song five, is seventh son of a seventh son, which is
the kid
that's born.
Yeah.
Cause don't they call that the circle of fire when the kid's crowning?
They do. Yes.
Yeah.
For good reason.
Too. My baptism of joy at an end, it seems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which it's interesting because Jesus referred to his crucifixion as a baptism.
Yeah, he did.
But he also used the idea of a woman in labor. When a woman's in labor, she's in grief because her time has come. But when the child comes, she's filled with joy because the child has come into the world. So he combines baptism with pregnancy to talk about his suffering on the cross. So circle of fire, my baptism of joy at an end, it seems. And then the book of life opens before me, which would be, you know, this new kid, maybe. The kid himself is a book of life, you know.
Or it's just explaining. I mean, the concept of the book of life is that's a heavenly item. So the book of life opens before me. So maybe she dies and
right.
She's in heaven.
Right.
I will pray for you. Someday I may return. So she's right. In that place and she's saying that she's going to pray for her.
Don't cry for me. That is an interesting, you know, you have this in... like the Old Testament, where women were dying in childbirth.
I know,
For all the prenatal stuff that we figured out.
What would kill them? Would they, like, bleed to death?
Yeah,
or?
I usually bleed out. Yeah.
Because they didn't know how to stitch them up?
They were hemorrhaging. There's a whole bunch of issues, you know.
Yeah.
Childbirth was a really, really dangerous thing.
Yeah,
So was it Benjamin's mother? It was Rachel.
Yeah. I thought it was Rebecca.
No, it was Rachel.
Okay.
And she died in childbirth, and she called him son of my sorrow or something like that. And then Jacob changed the name.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't think you should do that. Like, as a kid that got legacy.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your mom died when she was birthing you, and she named you the son of her sorrow.
Well, was it?
Like, that's too much.
Wasn't that little dude from Game of Thrones, Tyrion?
Yeah. What about him?
Didn't his mom die in childbirth, giving birth to him? And that's why his dad always resented him?
That's exactly what
happened.
His name
is Tyrion, right?
I don't remember.
Lannister?
I don't remember.
I'll pray for you someday I may return. Ugh, yikes. Yikes.
He was, like, one of my favorite characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's brutal.
Huh.
For that girl, I mean... That's how she gets prego, and then she has the kid, and then that happens.
I know.
That's hardcore. but it makes you realize, like, with Dorian, he had to get induced because we were losing amniotic fluid.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How did you know? It literally, like, you can...
The last ultrasound, it was looking low, and then... The doctor kept making us go, like, every other day.
Yeah.
And then they were like, he's losing amniotic fluid. But it was an exciting thing. It was like, whoa, we're going to have him.
Yeah.
You know, but that would have been terrible back 200 years ago.
Yeah.
That would have been a disaster.
That's true. Yeah.
You know? So, yeah.
No,
so,
that's true.
So it's pretty crazy, but what a song. And then it leads to probably the seventh son of a seventh son. Mm-hmm. Right? And then, like, the seventh lamb is slain. So, I don't know. Maybe she's the lamb because she's dying in childbirth, you know?
Oh. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
It could
Good
be.
Good Lord. Good wow. Lord. Yeah, I was talking to somebody about an epidural, and somebody was trying to, like, Christians come up, we just come up with the weirdest. So it was like bad spirituality to take the epidural, and it was, you weren't a good Christian if you're taking the epidural. Da, 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 da. It was something like, I don't know. It was just something where it was like,
you're avoiding the curse?
Yeah. And I was saying, well, pain in childbirth is part of the curse. And so if God gave us the wisdom to come up with an epidural to stem the full effects of the curse, that's grace. That's a good thing.
It wasn't me that said that, right?
No.
I don't remember having that thought. I just remember thinking I didn't want an epidural.
I remember talking. Yeah, if you don't want an epidural for different reasons, that's fine. But but that's what you know. You put all this theology around your personal opinion about stuff. I hate that stuff.
Yeah.
Like that's your opinion.
Yeah.
This is nothing. The Bible says anything about no epidural.
I know. Yeah.
Kidding me? All those women would have been like, "What? Give it to me right now."
Do you know there was a point in time where they would put you to sleep? And you would have your baby?
Huh? No, yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah. That's I was crazy. Talking to a lady that they did that with her. I said, so you just, she's like, your body knows what to do, and so you're asleep, and so you, I'm like, that's insane.
How
and
could the, that but be safe you, for the baby?
Yeah. But then how do you know that you're going to wake up, like,
yeah.
in time, so the baby's chilling, and you never got to see that experience or any
low
of that?
Nah.
But
I'm good.
It's so intense that everybody's like, we need to find an escape.
Yeah. I can't wait. Not wait. Well, God, I felt him kicking me yesterday.
When we were in bed?
Yeah, I felt
like I was wondering, me. Like, when I come up around the back of you,
yeah.
I was like, I wonder if he feels like
he's getting... I was like, I see you, Orion. I see you, my guy.
Kicking his back.
I see you. What did you get the song?
Yeah, it's a 7.5.
What?
I didn't really like it, babe. It didn't inspire me to anything. I was just kind of like...
Yeah, that's because you're not a runner. This is a 9.4.
Because you're not a runner.
It's a 9.4. And if they would have made it a little bit longer, it would have had a 10. It was only 4.5 minutes. I need more than that, maiden. I need more than 4.5. Huh? Okay? You understand? Huh? All right. 9. What did I say? 9.4?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you give
7.5.
It? 7.5. Okay, we're not together anymore. Vin out.
Sorry, Al.
Gone.
I guess I'll deliver Orion by myself.
Huh? I make up with you.
Good thing there's a baby in the middle of the razor's edge with us. You don't have me to,